Hello everyone, this is Andrew Pond, Artistic Director of Eclectic Full Contact Theater. Welcome to Season 4 of the Half Hour Audio Hour. Every month, we'll be featuring a different playwright, allowing you to not only hear their work, but to find out a little more about them and their process. If you enjoy what you hear, please remember to like, follow, and subscribe to our podcast, and feel free to leave a review. You can help us out in continuing this work by heading over to tinyurl.com/EFCTHHAH, where you can sponsor us through a one-time or recurring donation and become our partner in highlighting the voices and stories of women, BIPOC, and LGBTQ+ artists. This month's production is Felicity, written by Dylan Malloy, directed by Christopher Sylvie, and starring Rashawn Carter and Lydia Moss. Before we start, we'd like to briefly introduce you to Dylan Malloy. After the production, stay tuned for an interview with Dylan for more insight into the play and this process. Dylan is a junior at Emory University, double majoring in playwriting and business. Her plays have been produced in California, Los Angeles, New York, Georgia, and Colorado, as well as the UK. Actors known for roles with Disney+, CW, Paramount+, and Amazon Prime Video have starred in productions of Dylan's work. She is a two-time winner of the Hollywood-based Blank Theater's National Young Playwrights Festival, where she received an additional designation for excellence only given once before in the company's history. Dylan has also received Emory University's awards for Best Playwriting and Best Fiction Writing by an undergraduate. Originally from Colorado, Dylan is the author of The River Cycle, a 5-play series examining human connection and the climate crisis in rural Colorado. Every play in the series has been performed. And now, Felicity.
Okay, imagine this. You're holding a space helmet made of polycarbonate and gold mylar. And it has your name printed on the side. When you put it on, like this, everything goes black. And that's how you know your new life's about to start.
What does mylar look like?
Like if you melted a gold sheet.
How do you know?
I saw it on TV.
I don't know anybody else with a TV except you.
I remember when we used to come over every day after school and we wouldn't watch anything but the Space Channel. Cartoons about slime aliens, interviews with rocket engineers. One time last year, they showed a blueprint of what the Mars Dome looks like. Remember? The walls have LEDs to make it look like the sky is blue.
The only time I ever see a blue sky is when I'm watching your TV.
The LED walls, the rockets, the custom-made spacesuits. It's like going to the richest hotel in the world and they hand you a bathrobe made of like white tiger fur and it has your name embroidered on it in gold thread. It's just like that, but something out of a comic book.
Imagine paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for an outfit you'll only ever wear once.
The bathrobes?
No, genius. The spacesuits.
I'd buy a spacesuit if I could. Even if I only wore it for the shuttle ride. Even if I never wore it again. I'd hang it on my wall so it stayed clean forever and nobody ever touched it. You know what I read the other day?
What?
The dust and stuff from the rocket exhaust is going to linger in the air for a bit. The news said that things might turn gray for a couple of days.
Grayer than usual?
It's actually pretty cool. We'll be able to see the trails in the sky from the rocket.
Talk to me 3 days from now when there's so much stuff in the air that you can't breathe.
I already can't breathe, but at least now it'll be for something cool.
I bet most of the settlers couldn't even identify where Mars is if somebody showed them a star chart.
Doesn't matter.
It matters to me.
Why?
Because they're getting a new life, and they don't even deserve it.
Why not?
Because they don't have to smell the smoke and ash all day. They only live in blue sky places. Our parents build pieces for the rockets in the factory, and the settlers' parents sit in air-conditioned nursing homes with a whole team of staff to get the lemon water. What did you see on TV that one time? Some of the settlers have personal greenhouses where they can grow whatever food they want, like melons and cherries and real actual wheat, and they can have their own bread, not the gray lab-grown ration stuff that we get. And I heard that some of them have entire rooms filled with TVs, screens on every wall, VR headsets. They can see whatever world they want.
My family has enough money for a TV. Does that mean we don't deserve a new life?
No, because your TV is from decades ago and you got it secondhand and it doesn't work during thunderstorms.
Still.
It's not your fault that you have a TV. It is your fault that it's rotting your brain. You can barely stay awake in class, but you know everything about the Marsdomes.
Class is pointless. The math we're doing is for babies. I could have done it in fourth grade.
Yeah, same.
Well, I saw your last test score, and so probably not.
There are a lot of different ways to be smart.
But only one way really matters. Science. Fun fact about the domes, they have a special tech that makes everyone's drinking water cold.
Billionaire babies can't drink lukewarm water like everybody else?
During the winter months, they're going to use even more tech to make the domes cold. Artificial snowflakes. See?
Waste of money.
You are just jealous.
If the settlers want to burn their money, that's on them.
If you don't even care about the liftoff, then why did you even come over here to watch it with me?
Because everyone on the continent's watching it. And we have front row seats from your backyard. And it's all free. And it seemed like a good deal.
I thought you came here because it's the biggest thing that ever happened.
I'm here because you need me, Will.
Let's make a deal. Liftoff happens in 10 minutes. Nobody's allowed to mention air or water or money until then.
Or settlers.
I'm not sure what else there is to talk about, but...
Real people. Real things.
Initiate secret handshake. What was that game we used to play? The one with the alien and the astronaut?
Alien and astronaut?
Yeah. Why did we stop? One day we were on our own planet together, our own secret world, and the next day we never went back.
We grew up.
Yeah, but you can still have your own secret world after you grow up.
This is the secret world right here.
My backyard's not a secret.
But it's real, and it's ours. Even if it does smell like smoke.
We agreed to go 10 minutes without complaining about...
But I can't just forget about it. I can't just shut down and power off. We should be able to breathe freely and see out our windows and notice the colors of the stoplights.
And going on and on about it doesn't help.
It spreads awareness.
We're aware, June. Everybody here, we are aware. What if we tried to play the game again?
Forgot how?
It's like swimming. You never really forget. See. Okay, Major. We're here on the icy blue sky planet in a galaxy billions of miles from Earth. And we're searching for signs of life. Over.
No signs of life, Major. Only snowbanks and blue sky. Over.
I need to go take soil samples. Over.
Ooh, don't! I'll lose you. There's snow everywhere.
We've got walkie-talkie.
Oh, there's too much sky. I can't tell up or down.
Just stay put and I'll come back for you.
Best friends, don't leave best friends alone on a planet.
That's why we stopped playing. You stopped taking it seriously. You never liked sci-fi stuff the way I did. Even that one time, sneaking into the movie theater by pretending to be someone else's kid. Remember? It was the movie with the black holes and the slime beast, and you said...
I said it was fine.
No, I remember. You said it was wrong.
Sneaking into a movie without paying?
That wasn't it. You love sneaking. You get high off sneaking. It was the space stuff that had you freaked out.
Everybody's freaked out.
No, everybody from coast to coast is in their living rooms, surrounding the TV, watching the Felicity launch. There's branded champagne being sold. Mars Barbies. Time magazine wrote profiles about all the settlers going to Mars. It's like baseball cards. Collect your favorites.
Who's your favorite?
Edwin Joseph bought a seat on the Felicity with all the money he got from making VR tech. Gave some to a conservationist charity. Gave the rest as a down payment for his very own Mars dome.
Oh, good. So he saved like 5 square miles of the wilderness, and now there's a plaque there with his name on it.
Salvation, salvation.
He gave, what, $1 million? That's pocket change for him.
Yeah, but if you add up all of his investments over time and factor in inflation, then check out the proportions.
You don't need to keep proving how smart you are.
If I had a good teacher, a textbook that's not from 20 years ago.
So who are you going to talk to about it?
The principal, maybe, or...
He doesn't care. They only send us to school just to say they've done it.
Apparently Mars has domes with air filters that get checked every day for peak oxygen performance. That's like the coolest science there is.
I'm talking about you, not about Mars.
It feel like standing in a forest somewhere, but you're actually surrounded by the red desert. I can't even picture it.
Yeah.
And apparently they're terraforming the surface so food can grow.
Yeah.
You're not...
I'm listening.
If you were listening, you'd be looking at me.
Just wanted to look up for a bit.
You've got this center of gravity inside you. This anger. You're always mad at everything.
You're not part of everything. You're something different.
If I was actually something different, I wouldn't be here right now.
Where would you be?
If I say it, you'll get mad.
Mm-mm, we don't have secrets. Only secret handshakes.
Does it change anything one way or the other?
Does it have anything to do with the Felicity? It's no big deal if that's what's upsetting you. It's been freaking me out too. All those facts you were telling me about, you're just trying to fill the space, and I get it, you're freaked out, but...
I'm not freaked out.
Then what's going on?
I wish I was on it, June.
You wish?
I wish I was sitting in the cockpit. I wish I had a space helmet with my name on it. I wish I was headed somewhere for the first time in my life. I wish I had enough money for a one-way ticket.
Well.
You know how much a ticket to Mars cost? $10 million. You know what my dad said when I told him about it? One day I'll get to build the rockets in the factory, just like him. If I'm good, I'll get promoted, and then maybe I'll have enough money to buy a TV too. And watch the Space Channel. And show it to my kids. That's the best it gets. Standing in line for some government rations, grayish food made in some lab. Tying cloths around my mouth. Watching my hands turn red from the hydraulics. You're jealous of my family's TV? But having it makes things so much worse. I can see the world outside this town. And the world doesn't want me.
We shouldn't watch the launch. We should go inside.
I have to watch, June.
We can make up more games. Or more handshakes. Or more worlds.
When the Felicity's gone, my world ends.
When you imagine yourself on the rocket, am I there too?
Haven't thought much about it.
You're lying.
You wouldn't want to go even if you could. You hate the settlers.
Because they're the ones ruining everything.
Edwin Joseph gave some money to a World Hunger Charity.
Guess what? He doesn't know you exist. He'll fly 1,000 miles above you tonight, and then it'll be like nothing ever happened. You'll never have even happened. And then they'll go on to make their new lives.
I go back on what I said earlier.
What?
I wish I was on the Felicity.
You don't want that anymore?
I wish I was on the Felicity, and I wish I was on it alone.
So you'd leave me down here to suffocate, if that's what it took to buy your ticket?
Yeah.
I pulled you out of lockers when other people stuffed you inside. I had cuts on my knuckles from stepping into your fights. I sat by your bed with a trash can when a spoiled ration made you sick.
It's not that simple.
Of course it's that simple. You think I did all that because it was fun? I did it for you because otherwise,
you remember all this is the rest of your life.
But when I have something else to care about...
Which is me. If I wasn't here, you wouldn't be able to get out of bed.
I have a ton of other friends.
Who?
I mean, I could make other friends if I didn't have to worry about you.
You don't, though. You just randomly decided that I'm the only thing that matters.
That's what being a best friend is.
I shouldn't be the center of your galaxy, Joan.
You know what? I wish you could get on board the Felicity. I wish you could shoot off in a metal tube, thousands of miles away from Earth, only to realize halfway up that you're scared of space and you have nothing left.
Then let's make it happen. Maybe if you wish hard enough, something will actually start happening for me. Maybe my life will actually start to matter. Maybe I'll do something better than work in a factory for 50 years and eventually die. Is that why you're pushing it so hard? You want me here. Admit it. You want me here so you don't have to swelter by yourself.
I'm going home.
We're only 5 minutes away from liftoff.
Bet the view's better on TV anyway.
June.
Don't. I'm giving you what you wanted. You and the rocket alone.
It's dark out. It's dangerous.
I'll be fine.
We could play another game. Go to another planet, whichever you want.
No.
I can't be alone. Okay? I can't.
Lost the signal for a second, Major. Over.
Faulty tech, Major. Over.
I want to shoot something with my ray gun. Over.
Fun fact, ray guns are technologically impossible, so...
I knew I could get you to break character.
I wasn't breaking, I was just explaining.
Let's take off our helmets and look around.
Fun fact, that would kill us.
It's our own planet. We can do whatever we want.
How's the air on our planet?
Smells like fresh water. Like lemons.
How acidic is the soil? What's the pH?
Am I supposed to do a taste test?
What's the formula of the gravitational pull?
No clue. You were always the best at creating planets.
I can help you learn. I'm better than the textbook. You can feel it in the air now. The waiting.
How long until liftoff?
3 minutes.
Tell me more about the settlers. The billionaires.
There's one guy who made all this money by claiming he created the solution to clean energy, putting compost in a reactor and spinning it around. Turns out he was lying, so everybody forgot him. Except the tabloids. There's another guy who's flying up there with a personalized coffin so he could be the first man to be buried on Mars.
Oh, jeez.
It's not funny. It's actually kind of sad.
No, it's obviously not funny. Just...
There's a nutcase in every group.
And now they'll get history books written about them.
Another one of them, the serial heiress, she appeared on a box of cereal and I clipped it out and kept it.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking.
Her and the compost guy can start a family together. They can build a castle on Mars and invite the slime aliens over for dinner.
You are so weird.
I only like space when we're the ones inventing it.
What happens after?
After it's gone?
Yeah.
I don't know. Find something new to care about.
But that's all there is.
I can think of 1,000 things to care about.
Really?
When school lets out for the summer, when the ration trucks roll in, the night before your birthday. Remember when you turned 12 and we
made slingshots out of rubber bands we stole off the teacher's desk?
No. That was my 12th birthday. For your 12th, we snuck into the movie about Superman holding back the tsunami.
So much water.
There's so much stuff to care about. Pine trees, powdered lemonade, horror movies, cold water,
slingshots,
sweat,
stardust. It's not that I forgot you were there. I just kind of passed over you for a while.
I get it.
Do you remember when the river used to flow? And we biked to the riverbank and dipped our faces in our mouths filled with mud? And it was in the high 90s and our teeth were brown for 2 days?
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was this other time, you know, what I was thinking about with the...
Oh, wait, with the guy who...
Yeah, oh my God. And his face, do you remember? It was like the summer after freshman year and we...
Yes.
The whole thing, it was like so random, like, but it was also just... Tell me what else there is to love. I'll listen for as long as it takes.
For real?
Out of time. Nothing else to do.
Okay. Midnight in the middle of July, when everything finally starts to cool down and you can feel the sweat sinking back into your skin. Having a whole sandwich all to yourself. Morning in the forest. That's where the air is cleanest. The feel of your sneakers when they stick in the asphalt. Lying in an empty bathtub and staring at the ceiling. Clouds. Sunset. Playing tag. Comic books. River water. Saving dimes in a jar. Sitting by someone's bedside. Sunset on the sidewalk. Skin on skin. Spreading out blankets. Sneaking into dark places. Knowing the orbit. How you wake up and spin on the same axis. Who you spin alongside and why and how and where you make sense.
Thank you for listening to Felicity here on the Half Hour Audio Hour. Next up is a brief interview we conducted with Dylan Malloy after the recording of this show. All right. So, Dylan, I just want to say thank you for letting Eclectic be part of your show, Felicity.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so honored to have had the opportunity.
So tell me, how long have you been writing?
So I started writing fiction when I was about 10 years old. I was in fifth grade. But I started writing plays when I was 15. And actually, funnily enough, my first play was sci-fi as well. It was an adaptation of a short story by Ray Bradbury. So I was able to work with his estate to acquire the rights to that play for one performance. And then I didn't write sci-fi again until Felicity, but I'm now double majoring in playwriting and business at Emory University. So I'm working towards doing this professionally.
Wow. I'm just impressed with the whole reaching out to Ray Bradbury's estate to get rights for something when you were 15.
Thank you. I think I was about 16 or 17 at the time. There was kind of a delay between when I wrote it and when it all came together. But yeah, we reached out to his agency and they were gracious enough to let us do a performance of that, which I'm still really grateful for because that was a crash course in how things work professionally for writers. And I think that was a really great education to have had at a young age.
I'll bet. Wow. So what inspired Felicity?
I wrote Felicity. It was the fall of my freshman year of college, which at the time, the Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk spaceship stuff was all in the news, kind of at the periphery. But also just thinking about being a freshman in college, it's a time period where people are connecting with each other, kind of just rapid fire and trying to make friends and looking for these deep relationships, deep connections when you've only known each other a short period of time. So I was thinking about all of these things and writing a play that really highlights human connection right as the world is changing. Mm-hmm. So Felicity is actually the second installment of a 5-play cycle about climate change and human connection in the American West. So at the time, I'd been working on the cycle for about a year and a half, and I was finally beginning to understand how the plays were being pieced together. So Felicity emerged kind of as a product of the other plays that already existed, and I wanted to tell a story that was about teenagers specifically because that was a story I hadn't quite told yet and something I hadn't explored within the context of that project.
Well, see, now you went ahead and you answered two questions at the same time because I really was interested because the play, and I'm not surprised to hear that it's part of a larger work because there's just so much going on in this show that is being talked about, you know, the climate change, the billionaires going, whoop, well, we screwed up the planet, time for us to leave, mm-hmm. income inequality, all of that kind of, and also this sort of like celebrity status that billionaires have. And so I'd really like to hear more about why you, or what led to saying, well, the two people that I want to be the center of this play that has all this stuff swirling around it are teenagers.
Yeah. So I think adolescence is a time period where all of the emotions you're feeling are so intense and so real. And you're really, I mean, I'm saying this now as someone who's 20 and just a couple of years out of it. So I don't have perhaps the perspective that I'll have a few years from now, but mm-hmm. it's a time period where your emotions are so, so real and intense, but you're also deciding what you believe about the world. And you're old enough to be able to look back on your childhood and these formative experiences and really form an opinion, which I think we see especially with June deciding to kind of rage against the machine as much as she can because she's decided to make that a part of her identity in a way that Will hasn't.
Right.
But having teenagers and children in this piece also allowed us to explore this idea of play and imagination as a form of liberation. So the characters take themselves to another planet when their own planet begins to feel too heavy, or when they want to talk around an issue instead of working through it, the easiest thing to do is escape. So that led to a lot of really interesting opportunities movement-wise. It made the play more expansive, but just within the rehearsal room, we were able to explore this idea that when a child is grieving, working through it through an escape is sometimes the only way. And these are characters who obviously have quite a lot to work through because their own world has failed them. So what more can they do but form a world of their own? And we see that pattern kind of repeating. Sometimes it's successful, sometimes it's not. But the goal is that it's all motivated by character. But also at the time period when I was writing it, I wrote the first draft of the script when I was 18. So I think obviously being a teenager was something that was very that was happening at the time.
Right.
So perhaps writing teenagers felt like the most natural thing. But now looking back on it a few years later, I think that's the way I would have preferred for this story to be told. I don't think this is a story where you put adults in it and it reads the same way, because it's about the innocence coming up against that despair, and what do you do to work through that with someone you love.
Right. No, I totally feel that same thing. To this would be a completely different story with grown-up characters. I think that sweet spot of like that 15-year-old is really interesting to see how they do. What do they do? How do they work through this, as you were saying, with escaping, because they have a lot to escape. And I thought that was a very, very interesting way of going about it. It really energized, I think, the show in some very, very interesting ways.
Thank you.
So do you have any upcoming projects that you'd like to promote?
Yes. So now I've completed work on this play cycle that I started in 2020, and I've since started another one. My family moved recently, well, within the past few years, to Southern California. So I'm writing a series about wealth and wellness culture in the American West, specifically Orange County. So I'm working on finishing up the first full-length installment of that cycle. But I'm hoping to always be writing about the American West in some way or the other. I grew up in Colorado, and now I'm based in California, in Atlanta for school. But I think the American West is really where I feel the most inspired artistically. And I want to keep telling those stories for as long as I can.
Wonderful, wonderful. And you've certainly tapped into a very deep well of subject matter with wellness culture out in the American West. So
the more I read about it, the more I realize there's a lot to write about. So I'm hoping to stick with this for as long as I can.
Yeah, I'm very, very interested to see how that all turns out. That sounds like really some interesting stuff.
Thank you.
So this leads, of course, to the most important question of the entire interview, which is, of course, what is your favorite sci-fi movie or novel?
That's difficult. I really love Station 11 by Emily St. John Mandel. I know they adapted it into a TV show recently. While I was writing this cycle about climate change, I read that. Parable of the Sower by Octavia Butler, and The Road by Cormac McCarthy, just to understand how the apocalypse is depicted in fiction and sci-fi. Learned a lot from those books. I still think about them years later. But then I'm tying it back to the beginning. I also really, really love The Illustrated Man by Ray Bradbury, which is the anthology of stories that that original adaptation came from. And I think discovering that when I was, I think around 14 or 15 when I got my first copy, that's what made me want to write science fiction, and especially short form sci-fi. I learned everything from those four books.
The Illustrated Man is an amazing anthology of short stories, no question about it. Well, Dylan, once again, I just want to say thank you so much for allowing Eclectic to be part of your show, Felicity. It's an absolutely beautiful show. It's really quite an amazing piece, and we had such a wonderful time working on it. And I just want to say on behalf of myself and everyone at EFCT, how grateful we are that we got to be a part of it. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so grateful to have had the opportunity, and everyone was just so wonderful to work with throughout, and the actors, the director, everyone is so talented. So I'm very, very excited to see how it turns out.
We hope you enjoyed Felicity. Next month, we will be presenting Memento Mori by Donna Latham. And don't forget to head over to eclectic-theater.com to find out about all our other shows and projects, like our first annual Playground Festival, presenting three amazing new scripts for young audiences. Whether you know kids, have kids, or happen to be three kids in a trench coat, you'll love the Playground Festival, running May 25th through June 2nd, with a special show on Memorial Day. It's the most fun you can have without a slip and slide. Info and tickets at eclectic-theater.com. On behalf of myself and everyone here at EFCT, thanks for listening.